For what seemed like ages, it lay there, carefully hidden away. It remained that way, undiscovered, despite the searching of the sharpest eyes, despite the probing of the keenest minds. Century after century passed it by. Then one day it was discovered, its secret unlocked, and its awesome power, or the awesome power locked within it, was released, transforming the world. What is he talking about? Actually, I'm talking about the atom. For many believers, God's power is a lot like that, hidden away, kept secret. We know that its power is awesome and can completely transform our lives. But tapping into this resource, using the power, often remains a mystery. I remember back on an incident a number of years ago, I won't tell you what that number is. Anyhow, a question came from a friend of mine. How do we tap in to this resource? Well, the answer to that question is found in the text for tonight from that rabbinic responsum, since it's singular, that Rav Shaul sent. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Now, by the way, he's already hinted at the answer back in chapter 1, and he will develop that answer a little more fully in chapter 5, so you're going to have to come back for that. But I'm going to suggest that the answer goes far beyond even that important question about unlocking God's power in our lives. It tells us how we can be all that God intended for us to be, how we can experience all of God's astounding purpose for us that was spelled out in chapters 1 and 2 of this amazing letter. Nothing short, my friends, nothing short of realizing the fullness of God for and in our lives. And this is Rav Shaul's prayer for us in Ephesians 3. His prayer along the way specifies the steps whereby we can achieve God's fullness for us and realize His mighty power in our lives. You'll see that there is a brief outline as one of the inserts. If you want to follow along, fine. If not, the outline still says this. It starts with the reason he prays, verses 14 and 15. In fact, some translations have it simply this way, for this reason, or as we see here, with all this in mind, with all what in mind? Well, for this reason, or with all this in mind, takes us back to chapter 3, verse 1, where he first began his thought and then interrupted with this amazing response. And that first verse of chapter 3 in turn takes, this is not going to surprise you, first verse of chapter 3 takes us back to chapters 1 and 2. And all these spelled out there. In other words, as we reflect back on chapters 1 and 2, he wants us to experience all that he wrote about there. As one translation puts it, when I think of the wisdom and the scope of his plan, that's the reason he prays. It's the greatness of the purpose that God has for us. And then he moves, pardon me, the grandness of the purpose he has for us. Then he moves on to the greatness of the one who provides, the provider. In those verses, he says, I kneel. Now, hold on, Rabbi. When we pray, we don't kneel. We stand. You remember the Amidah. When we respond to God, we stand or we sit. What's this kneeling business? It's contrary to our usual posture. But it reflects back on something, Isaiah 45:23, which is quoted by the rabbi in Philippians 2:10, and we will respond with that text itself. Then every knee will bow. In other words, this is an expression that conveys deep emotion, tremendous respect and awe, and that comes from understanding God and His purpose, as spelled out for us in this opening couple of chapters. And then he talks about the one, as our text says, every family on earth derives its name from him. That, too, is part of the greatness of the provider. Having talked about that, he now moves on to the requests he wants to make in the next several verses. And it's in this section that we have the steps to unleashing the power that he talks about here. And you'll see the first step is in those first couple verses. It has to do with being fueled by faith. He talks about, the text says literally, being strengthened with power or empowered with strength or powered up with power, or strengthened with strength, however you want to put this together. What he's saying is that God, he's praying that God may empower you with great inner strength. And he tells us how that takes place. It's through the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaShem. Now, he's going to talk about that, like I said, in chapter 5. But he's building on something that the prophet had said centuries before, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, where God says, I will pour out my Spirit on you. Why? In order to enable you to walk according to my guidelines and my instructions. What's implied here is this is an empowering that reaches to the depths of our persons. It saturates us. It has to do with a thorough empowering. It's not just a surface thing. And it comes, it's derived from, as our translation reminds us, his unlimited resources, his riches are our reservoir, so to speak. But there's a purpose to all this, and notice what the text says, that Yeshua may be at home in us. Some translations, he might live or dwell among you. Be at home in us and live out his life through us is what's going on here. The reality is this, the Messiah is in us. As God was in that temple, and the people realized that, God said that in the text from the parsha from tonight, so also here is another reality, the Messiah in us. And how does all this take place? What are the ingredients for making it happen? First of all, it's realized or experienced by faith, and then it is revealed or expressed in love, demonstrated in love. Love. Quick aside on this. When we talk about love from a biblical perspective, it has to do with a focus or a concern on others, acting for their interests and benefit. The focus is not on ourselves or our own situations or needs or desires or interests or concerns. It's not pushing, our own interests further along or pushing our own activities forward, but looking out for others. Something probably very lacking in our day and age, in our society. But please understand the impact of this. The demonstration, the proof of spirituality is to be found in love. In other words, step two, as verses 17 to 19 remind us, is that we need to be founded on love. In fact, as it's described, they're deeply rooted and firmly founded. Roots, as in a great tree, driving deep into the soil. Foundation, as in bedrock. Not sand like we have around here, but bedrock, as under the temple. And then he requests that we have the power to grasp, the ability to fathom something important. But it has to do with all God's people. We fathom it together with all, along with all God's people. What does that tell us? It should tell us something about the importance of others. It should tell us that we need each other. We need each other in order to grasp or to perceive, to realize or to fathom this tremendous love. And in fact, to fathom how high, how long, how wide, how deep. Now, this is a very interesting... Sorry about this. Quick apology. I'm going to get grammatical on you. I know it's Friday night. You're not supposed to do any heavy lifting mentally, but stick with me for a second. Grammatically, this has no expressed object. So it's broader than just his love that's in view here. And that's an amazing love when we think of it, by the way. God's gracious plan, as seen in Yeshua's actions and his love, has breadth. One can see the breadth of that love throughout the gospel narratives. In addition, since his love has length, it continues forever. Since it has height, it carries one's spirit upward into the very presence of God. And since it has depth, it meets anyone, even in the most dire distress and depression. This tells us something about the broadness of what's going on here, and it's broader than just his love. It incorporates all of God's purpose that's expressed in that love. Sometimes theologically we describe this as his grace or his graciousness. And as the text says, this has vast dimensions. And he also asks for us not only for the ability to fathom, but the power to know. Interesting term for know. Since it comes from a Hebrew background, we understand the Hebrew implications have to do with experience. As one translation has it, so we can be able to feel and understand all of this that he's talking about and that he's talked about now for the better part of three chapters. And in effect, he's saying, this stuff is beyond comprehension. When we come to grasp it, it's beyond our comprehension. And, again, please remember, if we experience it, we can't help but express it. So that tells us a little something about the importance of knowing, or of truth, or of knowledge. Because you need to know it first. But it also speaks of the necessity of love, which is the purpose of that knowledge. It is in love, is in fact the demonstration of knowledge or of truth. Next chapter, chapter 4, he's going to talk about even the process of truth proclaiming is to be circumscribed by love. In other words, not just stating truth, but showing it, communicating it by our attitudes and our actions. Now, what that means is that the person must feel this from you as they are hearing things from you. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to listen as well. Fueled by faith, founded on love, step 3. Filled to the brim. All kinds of different translations here trying to express this. Filled to the whole fullness of God. Filled up to the full measure of the fullness of God. How about just full up? That works. Fullness. It's the result of the previous steps. The idea is to be completely filled, filled to the brim, as the outline suggests. And that involves, in this context, being all we were created to be and more. Living in completeness. Now, ideally, as he's told us already, that position is already ours. What he wants now for us is the realization and the actualization that goes along with it. He's prayed, the rabbi has, for superhuman strength to attain an inconceivable realization and experience. An experience which is to result in the fullness of God himself in our lives. As Israel experienced it in the wilderness in the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and later the temple, now we experience that in our lives. That's a rather bold prayer, don't you think? And it requires immense power for the answer to that prayer. And that's what he expects. Third point in the outline, the results he expects. Because God is able to accomplish this. And in fact, he tells us he's able to accomplish not only this, but immeasurably more, far beyond all that we expect. No, not all that we expect. The text says all that we imagine. Far more than we can imagine. Or, as again, another translation puts it so very nicely, far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. And he does so by means of the power at work or operating, being made operational in us. And what is that power at work? Empowering, verse 16, comes through his spirit, through the Ruach Hashem. Again, two chapters further along, we'll deal with this in a little more detail as he does. And then another expectation of his is this, that God would receive great honor because of the messianic community forever. Earlier in this chapter, he talked about the wisdom of God being expressed in us. Here he talks about the greatness of God being exhibited by us. The rabbis call this Kiddush Hashem, living in a way that God is elevated and is praised because of the way in which we live. I'll ask that very blunt question, and I shouldn't ask, but I'll ask and then run away. Are we living that way so that God gets credit and his elevation, or his reputation is elevated by the way in which we live? Well, I've intruded on your personal space too much with that, so I'll continue. Let me leave you with this question. So you want to unleash God's awesome power? God's awesome power in your lives? Do you want to realize the fullness of God beyond the greatest potential we have ever imagined that we had? The text tells us there are several steps. We're to be fueled by faith, thoroughly strengthened with power by the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaShem, so that Yeshua lives through us. That is experienced by faith, and it is expressed in love. In fact, we're to be founded on love. And for that, we need deep roots and a stable foundation so we can have the strength to grasp the immenseness of God's love, God's purpose, and God's grace. And so that we can have the strength, he asks, to realize and to express Yeshua's love so that we can be filled to the brim. Because then we will be along that pathway, that continuing road, transforming potential into reality, to experience the completeness he's intended us to experience the fullness of God in our lives. And it's possible, he reminds us, because of the awesome power of God. And it operates within us. And in fact, it will shape us if we let it, and if we trust him. It will shape us to manifest the greatness of Almighty God in the way we live. Here's the bottom line. We can and should pray this prayer of the rabbis for ourselves. And so he suggests we start the process as we pray. And I repeat the words of the rabbi as that prayer. The rabbi prays, and so we should pray for ourselves in the same way. The grandeur of God's purpose for the universe, of which purpose we are the centerpiece, impels me afresh to pray. In awe and reverence, I prostrate myself before him, to whom every knee shall bow, before the true and ultimate Father. I ask him to give you and me the working of the Ruach HaShem throughout your entire person, the very indwelling and outworking of the Messiah in our lives, that which is realized through faith and consummated and manifested in love. I pray that in this way our roots may be struck deep, our foundations laid secure, so we may have strength enough to claim our share in the experience which belongs to the people of God, the strength to comprehend the full measure or full measures of God's purpose and love, and to know and to realize the love of Messiah, though it is really beyond our comprehension, and so to attain to the divine completeness and purpose, to be filled up with all the fullness of God. Have I asked a hard thing? I have asked it of him who can do far more than this, who can vastly transcend our petition, even our imagination. I've asked it of him whose mighty power is actually and actively at work in us. And so, our response should be, may he receive great honor because of the community of his people and in Yeshua throughout all the ages of eternity. And to that we should all say, Amen. And now, as we await that consummation at the other end of, well, there is no end of eternity, at the other end of our age that leads into eternity, we rise and we respond with the Eleinu, pages 102 to 107. It's a time the world will be perfected under the rule of the Lord Almighty, and all will bow before him. Now, as we bow, we are bowing to accept the calling he's given to us, the task that is spelled out in this text. Pages 102 to 107, the Eleinu.